Reports on the changing climate around the world tend to focus lately on time, as in it's getting late to make the kinds of changes that could slow or even reverse the effects of global warming. The urgency is expressed in things like lawsuits filed against state government to force action on climate change. Lawsuits filed in the names of young people have popped up in several places. That includes Oregon, where two young women from Lane County are plaintiffs in a suit against Oregon's governor, and the case is moving ahead. The strategy is a creation of Our Children's Trust, based in Eugene. Julia Olson joins us once again from Our Children's Trust. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Julia, good to have you. Chris Winter is with us as well from the Cragg Law Center, which is part of the process as well. Welcome back, Chris.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. Good morning.
Julia, tell us about Our Children's Trust and this approach to the lawsuits.
Well, Our Children's Trust basically works with young people and lawyers from across the country and also internationally, and we partner with scientists to allow young people to take before courts and administrative agencies their rights as beneficiaries of the public trust doctrine, which basically means that if you're a citizen, you can depend upon your government as a trustee over the resources that are essential to our lives and our welfare, like our air and our water. And in this particular case, which Chris can talk more about, they are challenging Oregon's failure to protect all of the resources that are considered part of that public trust in Oregon from the impacts of carbon pollution, which are leading to both climate disruption and ocean acidification.
So, Chris, give us some information on legal precedent. Is there anything quite like this that has been done before?
There isn't. I mean, there's been several public trust cases that have been brought in Oregon. So the public trust doctrine has a long history in the common law. It's been discussed by our Court of Appeals and our Supreme Court over many years, and the doctrine itself goes back to Roman law, the English common law, and then was talked about in a long line of early Supreme Court cases. So there's definitely precedent for the doctrine. It has not been applied to the issue of climate change as it is being applied in this case. So in that sense, the case that these two young women in Lane County have brought is new, and it's that application of public trust doctrine to this crisis of climate change that I think has people so interested.
And the people who are actually listed as the plaintiffs, I believe, are Kelsey Juliana and Olivia Chernaik. Is that right, Julia?
Yes, that's right.
And how did you choose these two young people to be listed as the plaintiffs?
Well, typically the way it works is we have youth organizations who we partner with who are already working with really engaged, amazing young climate activists, and they decide that they want to get involved and take legal action. Kelsey and Olivia were part of the initial hatch of lawsuits and administrative petitions that were filed in 2011. And they were girls who cared about the issues, were passionate about the environment and standing up and doing something to really protect their rights and protect future generations.
So they were already
kids come to us.
Okay. Yeah. They were already climate activists.
Right, and then we connect them with lawyers like Chris and the Cragg Law Center to represent them and move their cases forward, and we provide support as well for that.
So their cases were first filed, and this case was first filed in 2011?
That's right.
And how old were Kelsey and Olivia at that time? I guess a bigger question is, how old are they now?
Kelsey is 18, mm-hmm. and Olivia is 14. And Kelsey actually is just starting college, so she's very excited about that.
I'm curious to know if they got any ribbing in school or anything from people who said, what are you guys doing filing lawsuits?
Pardon me for the
characterization of people who might have asked that question.
I think they've had a lot of support from their communities and from friends, and particularly here in Oregon. I think the polls show that over 70% of Oregonians want action on climate change. And we just get a tremendous outpouring of support coming in to Our Children's Trust saying, you know, let Kelsey know we're standing behind her, let Olivia know. So there's a lot of support for what these girls are doing, which really will impact all of us.
We are talking about lawsuits over climate change filed in the names of young people. In this case, the Oregon case involving Kelsey Juliana and Olivia Chernaik, filed with the help of Our Children's Trust, where Julia Olson is from. Chris Winters with the Cragg Law Center. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about litigation to produce action on climate change. 800-838-3760 around the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So, Chris Winter, what has happened thus far in court?
Yeah, sure. So we originally, as you mentioned, Jeff, filed the case back in 2011 in Lane County Circuit Court. And the judge down there originally said, you know, this is not the type of case that the court has jurisdiction over. So it's not a case that's appropriate for the court's review. And that holding basically reflected the court's opinion at that time that nothing the court said about the public trust doctrine would have any practical benefit for the plaintiffs, for these two young women. And so we appealed that initial decision to the Oregon Court of Appeals. And last year, the Oregon Court of Appeals reversed the Lane County Circuit Court and said, no, the court does have an obligation to declare what the law is. That declaration of law is meaningful for these young women, and then sent the case back down to Lane County Circuit Court for a resolution of our claims on the merits as to the public trust doctrine. So that Court of Appeals decision was nationally significant, was very important here in Oregon. And so now we're back down in Lane County Circuit Court and have just presented our legal arguments in written form to the court on motions for summary judgment, basically making out the case that the public trust doctrine applies and that the state is failing to uphold its fiduciary obligation. And so now we'll go through that process, and argument is on March 13th.
March 13th, then. Okay, an actual day in court. So this is a hearing, though, right?
Exactly. This is a hearing. It's a day in court. The girls' motion for summary judgment was supported by declarations from some of the foremost experts in the state of Oregon, including the director of the Oregon Climate Change Research Institute and Dr. James Hansen. And so we've put together a pretty compelling argument that couples really the futures of these young women along with the best available science on the impacts of climate change in the state.
That's a pretty significant second name there, Dr. James Hansen. Explain who he is.
So Dr. Hansen, you know, was formerly with NASA's Goddard Institute. He's really one of the foremost experts on global climate change. And, you know, he provided testimony back to Congress several decades ago, which was really kind of, now as we look back on it, an iconic moment, a moment of warning. And he's continued to do this work for many decades and is really viewed as one of the foremost experts in the world on this issue. And so he has volunteered his time here in Oregon to really try to help out the case that Kelsey and Olivia have brought.
So let me see if I can summarize the steps again. You went to Lane County Circuit Court. Judge said no jurisdiction here. You appealed that. The Oregon Court of Appeals says, yes, Lane County does have jurisdiction. So now you're just working up to the point of a hearing to begin to present why this should be a case heard by the court.
Exactly. So that's exactly what happened. And this March 13th hearing is very significant.
So you're still far from a trial. I mean, in fact, the judge could dismiss after this hearing on the 15th of March, couldn't he?
He could, yeah. So the judge could dismiss based on legal issues, his interpretation of the public trust doctrine. The state of Oregon, you know, filed a cross motion for summary judgment. The state's argument here, which we think is wrong, is that the state has no fiduciary obligation to these young women. The state basically is taking the position that it doesn't have to consider these young women as trustees, as beneficiaries, I'm sorry, of the trust in how they and how the state manages its natural resources. And so that's a legal issue the judge is going to have to resolve.
So, Julia, who is listed as the defendant in the case? Who's being sued and what is the relief being sought?
Yeah, the governor of Oregon and the state itself are both listed as defendants. And I'll talk about the relief in a minute, but going back to what Chris just said, I mean, if you think about it, our state government, Governor Kitzhaber, in these papers is arguing that even though the waters of the state of Oregon and wildlife and our beaches and shorelands are public trust resources and they're meant to endure for posterity and future generations, the state is saying it has no obligation to do anything about climate change and ocean acidification that most threaten those resources. I mean, it's kind of, to me, it's just a practical matter. It's, well, what is government for if they're not there to protect those most basic resources for us? But it surprises me always when I hear government making that argument.
The argument being that it has no responsibility in this area, and yet this is a state government that has things like Department of Environmental Quality.
Right, and the public trust is kind of the biggest environmental law you can think of that we have. And even though it's not a statutory law, it is reflected in our statutes. And it's a very important law. It's the equivalent of a constitutional right. So it's very important. And what the case is asking for is really very simple. Initially, it's in this round, it's asking the court to declare what the law is. So just very simply that, yes, the atmosphere is part of the public trust in Oregon, and that all of these resources are being threatened by carbon pollution, and there needs to be a plan. Ultimately, if they win this motion for summary judgment, then what they will ask the court to do is basically require the state to come up with a plan for how it will reduce the emissions in our state according to what the best science says is needed to protect a stable climate system and to protect our atmospheric resource and our oceans.
So this is less about requesting certain specific actions that be taken and specific numbers be hit than it is about just saying, we want you to do something.
Yeah, the state they need to have a plan, and they need to be on track and account to the public that we are reducing emissions at the levels we need to be that will protect future generations. And right now, Oregon has goals that are not legally binding, and it's not even meeting its very sort of minimalist goals that it has set for itself. So it has work to do, and this case is very important to set those legal obligations in place and then compel the state to act.
We're talking about the lawsuit filed against the state of Oregon on behalf of a couple of young people in Lane County. Kelsey Juliana and Olivia Chernaik are listed as the plaintiffs in a lawsuit against Governor Kitzhaber and the state of Oregon. Chris Winter joins us in the Cragg Law Center. Julia Olson is with our Children's Trust. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the specifics and mechanics of this. 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. 800-838-3760 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Chris, since state government is based in Marion County, why not file the case there?
Well, we could have filed in Marion County, but frankly, you know, these two young women live in Lane County, and they're going to experience the most severe impacts of climate change where they live there in Lane County. And so that was really the place to file for them. But, you know, Lane County is special also because it really stretches from the Cascades to the Oregon coast. And the types of impacts we're talking about include a 50% reduction in snowpack, which is going to have an impact on streams and rivers like the Mackenzie that rely on snowmelt during the season, possible sea level rises of up to 5 feet, which is going to have very severe impacts on our coastal communities. And so Lane County is really a compelling place to bring the case because it is it's going to be impacted by all of these very diverse types of effects.
Since you're not asking for specifics, as Julia just mentioned, is it more about establishing a beachhead, establishing a responsibility for the state to act?
Well, that's certainly a part of it, is establishing that public trust responsibility and to have a court declare that the state does, in fact, have a fiduciary obligation to the younger generation to do something on this issue of climate change. But, you know, through the relief, the injunction that Julia talked about, we won't be dictating necessarily what exactly the state has to do, but we will be asking that the court force the state to come up with a plan, a concrete plan that has specifics that the court and that the young women and our experts can review and evaluate, and that the state then implements that plan. And so the eventual objective is to get the state on track and moving towards concrete targets in a way that's accountable and transparent.
Julia, the state does have some plans for reducing exhaust emissions, things like that, just not concrete enough for your liking?
Yeah, it doesn't have a comprehensive approach to the carbon emission reductions that are needed in the state. And again, by its own reports, it's not on track to meet even the minimal standards it has set for itself. So it has work to do. And really, Oregon is a special place. And particularly right now, this is a state to watch on climate change. This case is moving forward, and it's of all of our atmospheric trust cases and actions that are in play, this one is going to have decision very quickly, we hope. And it could be a very big, important decision. This court has an immense opportunity to clarify the law and really help protect future generations. And in addition, we're a solidly blue state. Our legislature, our governor is blue, and there are very few states in the country right now that really have the ability to to move action forward, legislation, or whatever it is to take action on climate change. So I think Oregon is a very important state to watch right now. And there will be numerous proposals before the legislature this session on different climate actions. So I think it's a place to watch.
So I guess that answers the question about why approach this at the state level and not the federal level, because the federal government certainly has greater powers to work on things like climate change, you'd think.
Well, we will have another federal action in play. We recently petitioned the Supreme Court for review of a case against the federal government, similar to the Oregon case, and that petition was denied. They didn't want to review it at that time. So we will be going back and bringing another action against the federal government this year. But I think, you know, Dr. Hansen says that states are really important in this, and the courts are really important, and it's one reason why he's participating as an expert in these cases, is he sees the need for the third branch of government to really say what the law is, because the political branches are not doing their job. And we really need the court to define the obligation that states and the federal government have with respect to this very pressing issue, you know, the issue of our time, climate change.
You know, we're talking about the issue of our time. We're also talking about time being of the essence, if scientists are to be believed. But then working through the courts is obviously not a fast process. This case was filed in 2011. It's now 2015. But it's just important, it sounds like, to stay there and make sure that you stick with the guns and get the point made.
Yeah, and I think, Christy, I think you would agree with me that even though the initial process of litigation can take a while, judges can act very quickly to make decisions and to order relief and then oversee that relief if necessary. And if you look back at the civil rights era, that very thing was done. Courts ordered that schools be desegregated, and they ordered states to develop plans to do so. And that process, you know, happened relatively quickly once the courts came in and said, no, this is not legal. You cannot continue this way. So it can be done, but you're right, time is of the essence, and so hopefully we won't have to go up on appeal, and this court will issue the decision we're looking for.
Julia Olson and Chris Winter, again, our guests on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about lawsuits over climate change. Julia, have you filed these in all 50 states?
There have been legal actions filed in all 50 states. Not all of those have made it to court yet, so some of them have been administrative rulemaking petitions before state agencies. And then many of those have gone on to be litigated in court. But there has been action in every state, and there are new rounds of actions happening as well. Sort of, you know, round two, where round one wasn't successful. So these kids are resilient, and they're new young people coming to work with us all the time who really want to take action and are frustrated with what's happening.
And Chris Winter, what kinds of reactions have the cases gotten from courts and from administrators, for that matter, across the country?
So I think a lot of the cases around the country have kind of gotten the same response from the courts that our case got here first, which is a lot of courts sometimes basically say, look, this issue's too big. Nothing I can do will make any difference. Nothing I can do for these plaintiffs will provide them any practical benefit. And so there have been issues of jurisdiction and standing and ripeness and political question where courts have basically been saying, I don't want to get to this public trust issue. But in a couple places, you know, the courts in Texas and New Mexico and some other places, they said, look, we believe the atmosphere is a public trust resource, but for one of these other reasons, we're not going to actually go down the road and declare that the state has to uphold that duty as it relates to climate change. So it's not really so much the courts having a problem with the public trust doctrine, but it's really this issue of climate change and whether they can make any difference. And so, you know, we've gotten past that point here in our case. And so that's why Oregon really is positioned now to, as Julia said, be the one to watch as it moves forward, because it's at that place right now where we're going to get this decision on the merits soon.
All right. So if the state is asking for summary judgment, though, that means that the state is just saying to the judge, hey, look, there's either nothing to this case on its merits or there's nothing we can do. Therefore, why don't you go ahead and dismiss it now before we get to trial? Isn't that the essence of the request
right.
for summary judgment?
That's right. So the state's position really, when it boils down to it, is twofold. One is that the atmosphere is not a public trust resource, which we obviously disagree with. And the state's second position is, even though there are other resources that it acknowledges are public trust resources, The state's position is it has no fiduciary obligation to actually manage those resources to prevent the waste and degradation of that resource for future generations. And so that's a legal issue. And we have moved for summary judgment because the state also admits that climate change is caused by human emissions of carbon, and that climate change is also going to cause very severe impacts on Oregon's natural resources. And the state readily conceded those factual points in its brief. And so we feel that summary judgment's appropriate for our clients because there really are no facts in dispute. The state admits it's failing far behind its own targets and that climate change is going to have these really severe impacts on Oregon's natural resources. And so at this point, it really boils down to a disagreement over what is the public trust doctrine and does the state have this fiduciary obligation to protect natural resources for future generations?
It's Julia Olson. It's been a long road just to get to this point, to get a hearing for Chernaic versus Kitzhaber. How are you feeling about the prospects at this point?
Oh, I'm excited. It's very exciting to have made it past the Court of Appeals and have them say that these girls have a right to be in court. They have a right to have this case heard. And yes, the public trust doctrine is a real law in Oregon. It needs to be applied to the situation, and the court needs to make a determination. Is the atmosphere a trust resource? Are these other resources threatened by carbon pollution? And what must the state do to address the problem?
Chris Winter, does it figure to be a quick hearing, an all-day hearing? Do we even know at this point?
I think we'll probably have 90 to 120 minutes before the Lane County Circuit Court, so I expect it to be fairly brief.
All right. The judge is Judge Karsten Rasmussen in Lane County. It's the case of Chernaic versus Kitzhaber, young people suing state government to get action on climate change. Julia Olson is with our Children's Trust based in Eugene. Chris Winters with the Cragg Law Center. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks so much.
You bet.